I mean, wow. Meow.
Frustration.
Meow.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technical tabulations, helping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
And we should mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows use by everyone except
governments.
Square.
Yep.
Those darn squares.
Did you ever get an answer to your question the other day, Michael? Do the kids still say square? Is it hip to be square?
The answer I've got is not really, but we should bring it back. I think V said that, didn't you, V?
Yeah, I think we totally should.
And other people said that. Why do you think so? I mean, I just like it because it sounds like a really good slur.
It's
cool.
It does.
It's not racial or socioeconomic or anything. There's no protection. There's no protected class for squares. It's really what it comes down to. Mm. And
it doesn't offend everyone's delicate sensibilities, right?
And speaking of offending everyone's delicate sensibilities, do you have this article up?
Sure do.
Read
from the Daily Caller.
Yeah.
And the article is entitled, "Here's How Donald Trump's Election is Testing My Generation."
Oh, my goodness.
And basically, what this is saying is that, well, people are just triggered by everything. They just can't deal. They can't cope.
That's what they teach in school now, is triggering. Yeah,
it's all about the feelings.
I went to community college and flunked out after 2 years because I was too smart in the early 80s. But I'd be willing to bet that, really? I was too smart?
I was too smart. They weren't good enough for
I was too smart because I was bored. So I spent all my time in the library learning things. Mm-hmm. So same thing I did in high school. But
yep.
I'd be willing to bet that I got a better education in 2 years of flunking out of community college in the early 80s than most people get today in 4 years of a really nice college. Unless they're going for like engineering or math or science or something where, you know, they're actually trying to learn something.
And I bet you're not nearly as far in debt as a lot of these kids too. That's
I'm zero. Other than the mortgage,
yeah.
We have, my wife and I have zero debt. None.
Well, so, you know, it's I've seen many of my peers my age go to college, and some of them do the same work that I do, working in the mental health field, and they have staggering amounts of college debt. And yeah, after about a year. No, I went to college for a year and I was clueless. I went for arts and humanities because, you know, when you don't know what you're doing, that's what you.
You mean a degree in fields? Yeah.
Yeah. And I said no more. And
what did you go for, girl?
I went for a lot of things. I switched my major like every year. I eventually ended up. What?
Do you have a degree and how long did you go and where?
I have a vocational degree in web design. I went to community college for that after I dropped out of university.
What are you doing that for a living?
No.
Do you have college debt?
I actually don't, no.
Excellent. How did you not have college debt?
My parents covered it for a while, and then they were just like, we're not paying for this anymore. Because I kept on changing my major, like I said, but I did get the vocational degree, so that was good.
So how long ago did you finish college? So and how much of this was going on of this?
2007? There actually wasn't. I don't think there was a whole lot.
I think
honestly,
it started right after that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of worries me because, as you know, I have a teenage daughter, and she's graduating from high school this year. Oh, breaks my heart.
She's smart, though.
Yeah, she's very smart, and she got accepted to every college she applied to.
Really?
And I think she applied to four or five, and she got accepted to all of them. So she's going to the University of Farmington, which is, I think, probably the best and also the most expensive school.
In New Mexico?
No. It's right here in Maine.
We're on the radio in Farmington, New Mexico.
Really?
I was going to say she could listen to us.
Yeah.
You know what I think? You know what really happened? I mean, so if it wasn't happening in 2007, you know, Obama took office in 2009. Mm-hmm. I think I blame Obama for this.
Was that this the rise of the snowflake?
Thanks, Obama.
Yes. Thanks, Obama. Yeah. Seriously.
Mm-mm. Well, you know, my kid will tell me stories of how high school kids these days, we talk about these the safe spaces and delicate sensibilities, and it's so prevalent in high school. I remember going to school, if you had a problem with another student, a bully, you kind of sorted it out, you know, you brushed it off and you sorted it out on the playground or whatever. And now it's totally different. You know, you have to go in for counseling and all these meetings with parents and the school psychologists. And, you know, my kid struggled with it growing up, and I told her, It's not fun to be bullied, and it's not fun to feel like you're different or left out of the social functions of school, but that's part of growing up. You know, that's part of what builds character, and it helps you learn to develop your own way. And so many kids these days, they don't have that, and they can't grasp that because they're not told that.
You want to know how I had it?
How did you have it? I'll
tell you. So I was small and skinny for my age in grade school, and middle school, and high school. In high school, I was actually in varsity wrestling, and I was not a jock. I got drafted. They made me take varsity wrestling, like pressured me into it, because they needed somebody for the 105 class, or they'd have to forfeit. Like, it's better to have someone out there flopping and losing on points every time than to have somebody just forfeit every time. So they made me do it because there was no other kid that had any tiny bit of muscle that was in that class. And I didn't learn the rules in it, but I actually I lost a lot because I would hurt the guy because I was stronger than most kids in my weight class. But, you know, everybody, most kids, there were bullies that were bigger than me, obviously, because I was a little scrawny kid. And they would pick on me and threaten me and stuff. And one day in eighth grade chemistry science class, we were doing something with zinc. I don't know why. I don't remember what it was, making a battery or something. And these kids were picking on me, and I grabbed a hand. I was wearing like a, you know, protective chemical handling glove, and I grabbed a handful of zinc metal chunks and like went up to the biggest of the four bully kids and got in his face. And I didn't yell. I whispered in his ear, and I held it up to his face, and I said, "If you don't stop effing messing with me, I'm going to effing shove this up your effing nose and kill you." Or so, not wow. Kill you, but like, you know, like,
it's hardcore.
I got reptile. Here's the thing I've learned.
Tough talk for high school.
And middle school.
Middle school.
Eighth grade's middle school, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Middle school.
And no one ever messed with me again. And my dad got called into the principal, and they said I tried to poison somebody. Today, I would have been in juvie for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you would have.
Probably.
And, you know, I would have been, like, marked for life. And I probably am now because I'm sitting on the radio. But, you know, it was like I just didn't want to be bullied. And instead of, like, I'd seen kids be bullied and scream and freaked out. And I realized that caused more bullying. And I don't know where I got this from. I think it was intuitive to get like that quieter instead of louder, like reptilian.
It's much more intimidating.
It is. And I hadn't seen, like, I was sheltered. Like, I hadn't seen any gangster movies. I hadn't seen, you know, I wasn't allowed to watch TV late at night. I hadn't seen any movies where anyone does that. But it was just, it just came to me intuitively, and I did it, and they never messed with me again. And really, like avoided me like the plague, like I was psychotically murderous, and I'd kill them in their sleep or something.
And you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting comparison. I remember a similar story from when I was in eighth grade. And back then, the teachers kind of let that stuff go on. You know, you sorted it out yourself. Now that my generation has become the teachers, like I said, it's
the bullied,
a big...
The bullied kids have become the teachers.
It's a big production, and, you know, you got to call the police and the social worker and the psychologist, and the key word is trauma. There's trauma. And, you know, that really drives
me... My teachers used to call me names. Like, my shop teacher used to call me names in front of the whole class that you couldn't say on radio.
Teachers are bullies.
Like, someone would get sued for doing that now. Yeah, teachers are bullies, but I'm just saying, like, how different the environment was back then.
Oh, my French teacher in high school, when I moved down to Florida, he used to call me a Yankee. They're like, he never bothered to learn my name and called me Yankee. So, yeah, I went through that.
You know, I actually refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance once when I was in eighth grade, too. And in the middle of eighth grade, I got shipped off to a boarding school in a different state. So, which probably was like saved my life, you know, cause I probably would have ended up, hanging out with car thieves, you know, like older teenage kids that were getting in a lot of trouble, but I hadn't really done anything illegal except smoke pot yet. But,
I got kicked out of class for, I went to a Catholic school and I refused to say the morning prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. I would sit down and my dad, you know, he was awesome in that respect. He always backed me up on that. And he was like, yep, you don't have to say that stuff if you don't want. Used to drive my grandmother crazy, but yep. So nice. They kicked me out of class.
You know why I didn't want to read, didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance was because somehow in eighth grade, I'd gotten a hold of the book Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman. You guys familiar with that book?
Oh, yeah. I got that my freshman year.
Yeah.
Stole it from the library.
I called Ben Stone's new book Steal This Book If It Weren't Written by a Commie.
Yep.
Yeah, we were talking about Ben Stone a little bit. V doesn't know the majesty of Ben Stone. We started talking about that. I'm going to take a side detour here till the end of the segment. And then we'll come back and talk about the Snowflake Brigade. So like Ben Stone is this guy. He's my best friend. Other than my wife, he's my best friend. I know him in real life. He's a couple years older than me. He's probably, I'm 52. He's probably 54, 55. Used to work for, where did he work,
Chandler? He worked for GE, was it GE? Yeah, GE, yeah. And then he worked for...
He worked for the government, basically.
Yeah, well, he was subcontracted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple of things.
And then took early retirement because he was like, this is nuts, once he got woke. And he's one of the most woke people I know. Like, he's the guy who woke the people that we know who are woke. And he used to be a Freedom Fiend co-host, and then he started getting dementia. So he's not on the radio anymore, but he's still around. He's still, you can talk to him, especially early in the day. He's a great guy. BadQuaker.com. Check out BadQuaker.com. That's Ben Stone.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Our inmates got it.
Good. Tasty diet.
Put him on the air. Interview him on the air. All right. So we're talking about, we took a mild, this is Freedom Fiends, we took a mild little detour to talk about Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. And he's a bad Quaker because he's a Quaker, but he carries a gun, and Quakers aren't supposed to carry guns, so.
He ain't no
pacifist. He's a cool guy, man. He's, he's an ex-biker. He used to, let's say, do collections for a well-known motorcycle enthusiast organization. He's been shot at three times. He's been shot, put it that way, and didn't go to the doctor because it was a situation where he couldn't. And some people removed the bullet from him for him, and the shooter did not spend any time in jail, but isn't
karma
doing that anymore. Let's just put it that way. So
karma, karma, karma.
This is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker we're talking about here. Everyone should go to badquaker.com, BADQUAKER.com. And on the front page, there is an audiobook that you should download and listen to. I can't listen to it. I'm not old enough. I'm 52. I'm not woke enough for it, even though I may have helped master the audio, which you can actually do without listening too much of it. You do most of it by eye. I can do that stuff in my sleep with my eyes. I edit audio with my eyes. So we are talking about the lamest generation being these kids today and how they are special and unique snowflakes, a line from Fight Club that got co-opted by the alt-left, and we are taking it back because it is very appropriate. Read a little bit of this. Well, first of all, we're talking about an article from the Daily Caller, which is a website. I believe it's the website that's run by Al Gore. Is that true? Can anyone confirm or deny that?
Sure, why not?
Absolutely. Let's look it up.
Daily Caller. Yeah, Daily Caller. I'm pretty sure it is. So if it's not, it might as well be. So
yeah, there's so many of those daily whatever web blogs out there. I can't keep track of them.
Yeah, but you know, I got a tip for people too. Install the plugin that's available for any browser for Alexa, not the Alexa audio thing, but the old Alexa, which is the rating system for web pages, because it'll show you the Alexa ranking of any website, which is a rough measurement of popularity of a website. Like Google is one. Google has an Alexa ranking of one. If you start a blog right now, it's going to have a, and then like three people look at it, it's going to have an Alexa ranking of like 33 million. The Freedom Fiends has a Alexa ranking of like a million, which means it's like, you know, in the top millionth most popular websites there are. Daily Caller is Alexa ranking is like 2,600 or something. I mean, it's incredibly popular. It's 31, it's 3118. That's extraordinarily popular. So it's a really good thing to do. I mean, you're also submitting, you know, on your knees with your butt in the air for tracking, but you're doing that anyway. We're going to talk about that later. But if you really want to know, like, the ranking of a site, so it's a really good thing, like a BS detector. Like when someone says, oh, check out my blog, we're very, very popular, and you see their Alexa ranking 6 million, you're like, no, you're not. And then people will argue and say, yeah, but we got blah, blah, and like try to give you all these other metrics. And Alexa ranking is not perfect, but it's a really good rough indicator. And, you know, and like a million doesn't sound like that much. And I'll give you the only one legitimate, like, yeah, my Alexa ranking is not that great. But because Freedom Fiends is a podcast site where people generally hear about us, go poke around on it once, subscribe with RSS and never come back. So it does not measure every time there's a new episode in their RSS feed reader downloads the episode. It just measures page hits. So that's the one exception. If it's a podcast only, it can be more popular than it looks if it's a million. But a million is still not bad. I mean, that's, you know, of all the websites in the world. And there are about a billion, with a B, websites in the world. So a million's pretty good. But Daily Caller is very, very popular. And the picture on it, the article is called, "Here's How Donald Trump's Election is Testing My Generation," by Katie Frates, K-A-T-I-E-F-R-A-T-E-S, Katie Frates, Frates?
Frates? Frates. I thought it was just Frates.
But it's Frottage, I think. Frates. She likes to be rubbed up against, maybe. Frates. You guys know that word? Frottage? Frottage? Oh, wow. Daily Caller is founded by Tucker Carlson. Yeah, that's... Oh, and a former advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney. All right. So it's like...
So you're on the opposite end of the spectrum.
It's the Republican
there.
Version of the site run by Al Gore and probably about as popular, very popular. So we're going to read about it when we get back from this trip to the market. But yeah, install the Alexa thing if you want to know if people are lying and how popular their website is. Make you view the web in a whole different way. Wow.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Snowflakes. Oh, yes. It's raining, snowing worm flakes.
They're everywhere.
Worm flakes. Worm flakes are what you feed goldfish. You ever have goldfish?
Once. Yeah, I think that it's sounds like, about right.
It's like little flakes made of smashed up and freeze-dried mealworms, I think.
Yep. Delicious.
And brine shrimp. Mm-hmm,
delicious. It's good on salad.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So we were talking about this election, this article on the dailycaller.com called Here's How Donald Trump's Election is Testing My Generation.
You know, it should be called the Daily Caller, like the thing around your throat, like cops call when they arrest somebody.
Yeah.
They collar somebody.
Square.
Yeah. He's square. So current.tv or current.com is Al Gore's website I was thinking of.
Okay, I'll make sure to bookmark that one. I think I have heard of that, actually. Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever gone to it.
It's statist, man.
Yeah.
But it's hip. It's like, you know, the kids love it. Right, V?
It's not when square, you were a kid, right?
Did you love it?
I don't think I've ever been there. Maybe I have.
Yeah. You have the statist filters on your computer. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. I've got a plug-in for that.
All right, yep. Go ahead. It turns state into worms, worm flakes.
Send me the link for that plugin.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So yeah, there's a line in this article that I really think sums it up well, and it says the product of safe space parenting is a spineless inability to handle even the most minute negative situation. Emotional growth is stunted at the 5-year-old level.
I thought this website was written. I thought this, I only briefly perused this, basically glanced at the headline and the picture and the first sentence. But, you know, that's how we prepare on radio. When we say when people say on radio that I've done extensive research, they mean they've done that with 3 websites. That's an insider. I mean, we talk about that at the talk radio conventions. That's what research is on talk radio. But I thought this article was written by a snowflake. It's not someone. I thought it sounds like someone criticizing snowflakes now.
Yeah, I just saw that part.
It is kind of critical. Right.
We didn't mention the picture on this website, which is a picture of a woman holding her hand to her mouth, a young woman, probably early 20s, looking like she just watched a family member die in a car accident. But I said, I'll bet that's a picture of when they found out that Hillary lost the election. And I didn't. That was before I read the caption, and that's what it's a picture of.
Mm-hmm.
She's traumatized. And, you know, that's the big code word, and it really drives me nuts that these people are, they say they're traumatized by Trump's words. And first of all, why are you even paying attention? And second off, I work in the mental health field. I've seen what trauma is.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody's words, a politician's words, even a bully. I mean, it's not trauma. You know, it may be scary.
If someone holds you down and screams in your ear that they're going to kill you and they do
it
every
day. Yes, that's
trauma.
And
you're
traumatic, married
to
them or they're your parent and you're a little child. That's trauma. But, you know, the bloviations of the president aren't trauma.
Although, or media personalities, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's where we've gotten to. Where
you got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah, thank you. I was just about to say that to you a minute ago, and you caught me on.
Now I actually had Diana. I made that up, but for you know, this kind of stuff. Actually, it was Ian Freeman is the one on radio who, whenever callers say, "Well, we need to do something about our vets," and Ian's like, I don't have any vets. What are you talking about? but he will carry it to absurd lengths. Like, I would probably, if we took calls, which we don't, because we did for a few months 4 years ago, and people are insane and stupid and have bad audio, all three. But
the worst part.
It is the bad audio. I know. Somebody said the
other
day.
That's what killed it for you.
Somebody said, Googling list of libertarian hate crimes. And I said, you know, there's only one. It's bad audio. It's a hate crime. But man, these kids, I just. Okay, go on.
So in the article.
Traumatizing me with their trauma.
But you know what the scary thing is it's not just not kids really. Now. It's not the younger generation. Couples is separating.
Couples have separated over backing. Yeah, yeah. Hillary or Trump, huh? That's really happened.
A marriage of 22 years.
Divorce in California, I'll bet you.
Yeah. And people are now claiming they're suicidal and depressed. And all I can say to that is, if you're suicidal and depressed, maybe you better take a look at your own life instead of worrying about what a politician is saying. Granted, I think Trump has said and done some pretty horrible things that do have an impact. But I'm not going to be all suicidal and depressed, and I'm not going to end friendships and split up relationships because of things he's said and done. You know, I think one of the things we've talked about in the past, the best way to make these people irrelevant is to ignore them and to.
But we're not ignoring them right now. We're talking about. But it's okay because we're telling people to ignore them. Read another good line. You got a choice line from this thing? The scene outside the Jarvis Center in New York City could have been taken straight out of The Walking Dead. Yeah. As I walked past a cordoned off street around the time, it became clear the glass ceiling would remain intact. I guess they mean that Hillary wouldn't win. I was forced to step over a disoriented, sobbing woman splayed out on the ground while being interviewed. Her appearance was not dissimilar to Rick Grimes in episode 1, season 1 of the apocalyptic zombie show. Did you read that part?
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
No. Read that part? No, I didn't I didn't read that part.
I didn't read that part? You ain't done read that part?
I ain't done it yet.
These people ain't dead run. They go to them colleges and they don't learn nothing. They ain't dead run nothing about them zombies and them presidents. Okay, so. So the woman who looked like Rick Grimes lying on the ground, looking at all humanity dead, said, his words just really hurt me. The writer says, this sentence has stayed with me these past 118 days. She was rendered immobile by the actions of a man she'd never met or interacted with. His words elicited the same reaction in her that people who've gone through real trauma exhibit.
Real trauma.
Yeah.
Real trauma.
Actual trauma.
Yeah. Like a car accident or, you know, being mugged. I've had real trauma. I've had some real trauma. Let's see. I had my daughter died of cancer. That's real trauma. I've had a knife held to my throat on the street in a mugging. That's real trauma. My parents are divorced. That's kind of drama, but that's not real drama. But those two things are pretty dramatic. What real drama you guys had? Do you want to talk about any? Just mention in passing?
No.
I don't know. Nope. We're not going to go there.
Yeah, let's,
really?
Let's not.
Okay. All right, let's not go there.
But there's another interesting line in this. These same individuals who sit in the street and weep will someday be representatives, senators, and governors. and also, some of them might actually be parents, which will just perpetuate the cycle, which scares me. How will they be able to handle the demands of adulthood when they can't even handle a presidential election?
There are people who actually believe that Trump is the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. Wow. Like, not figurative, just really.
Oh, yeah?
Is Trump... There's an article. Is Trump literally Hitler? Man. Wow. All right. Oh, maybe in 1936. How's that? So go on. What do you guys think of the snowflakes?
I think that if humanity can't grow up and deal with simple, common emotions, then it's doomed. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think so. You don't think so? What? That they can grow up?
I'm not that worried about this. I mean, sometimes I read about it and go, ugh.
Well, yeah, but you take it in stride with everything else you see in the news, you know?
Well, I think part of it's because I'm older. because I mean, I remember people saying when I was, you know, 8 years old during the Vietnam War, I remember people saying like that scarred America and everyone in America forever. And we would never be the same. I remember them saying that, you know, Richard Nixon was the end of the America of people of life in America. And I've watched firsthand or at least secondhand on the news and people's reaction to it, you know, 80 or 100 events that were as traumatic to the world.
Yeah, but you know,
Trump being elected.
It when those people said that about Richard Nixon, it was the end of the perception of the era that they were living in. You know, and it's all perception. You know, every generation thinks the last was better.
A lot of defining. I mean, we should do a whole episode on that sometime. Of I fell down wormholes one night on the internet because I was trying to figure out if I was the baby boomer generation. And it turns out by most definitions of it, I'm the last year of it, 1964. But then I looked at the definitions of other quote unquote generations and how a lot of them are defined by the media because they need a story and they need to put a label on something, and how a lot of them overlap and they have smaller definitions within them. For instance, one of the other active fiends, Randy England, I think is probably the only other active one who is also in the baby boomer delineation. He's in a different group of it than I am. He's in the group that I'm in is theoretically said, I think they're called like the Joneses or something, my generation. Yep. Of that generation, because they're the ones that are trying to keep up with the Joneses of his generation, because his generation are the like right after, you know, not too that long post after World War II, when America was, you know, endlessly prosperous and everything was possible. And in a way it kind of was, because you could, you know, work 40 hours a week in a factory and support a family of four and have, you know, two cars in the garage. That was possible then before they deflated the money a lot, but, and a lot good of other things happened. Yeah.
I think
he's in the good old days. I'm in the generation of the baby boomers who supposedly envies the good old days people.
You're in the tail end. I think that the, advent of the 24-hour media cycle has perpetuated a lot of this perceived trauma in the world too.
That's why I'm saying like I'm not as worried about it as you are for some reason. I mean, I'm just old and cynical. Me too, but I became woke a little bit before Barack Obama's first election. I mean, I was kind of always woke. I kind of always had libertarian tendencies and I never really liked the government. I mean, like I said, I was reading Abbie Hoffman's Steal This Book at age 12. Do you guys know what that book is?
Yeah.
Stole it from the library in eighth grade.
It's basically a handbook on how to violently overthrow the United States government, which is not my plan. But this is a book I read when I was 12 from a communist perspective written in the 60s. So
it's an interesting read, to say the least.
It's an interesting read, same way that, you know.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need, not a guarantee, Wolberts. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Lolberts podcast. Lolberts, that's our word. Not a guarantee, Lolberts, is from B-Slick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free BIPCOT licensed app, not a guarantee, Lolberts. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
Yeah. So another reason that you should listen to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
Yes.
Anyone else out there, is he has the most calming, wonderful voice ever. It's like having your coolest uncle in the world explain everything about liberty to you.
So it'll put me to sleep is what you're saying.
in a good way. It'll put you to sleep, and you can get woke while you're asleep, even. It'll
nice. Great.
Yeah,
woke while you sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually heard a few people complain that they think his voice is boring, but most people find it really, really soothing, and he's just a great person, and it just shines through. Because, you know, the most powerful form of communication is one person speaking to another, and that's why if you do spoken audio in any recorded or live form, you should go to creamyradioaudio.com. So back to the snowflake removal problem. Or the snowflake tolerance problem. So, V, you went to college
more recently
than any of us. 2007 you finished, you said?
Yeah, but, I mean, this wasn't happening then. And I actually finished up, like I said, in community college. I went to VCU probably 2005, right, in Richmond, 2005, 2006. And this was not occurring then. My professors never touched on it. However, I do know people who are going now, currently, to the same college, VCU, and they are saying that the professors are actually introducing this. The only thing that I can remember is I was taking a religious studies course, actually, and my teacher was a woman, and she started talking about feminism. She just briefly touched on it. I think we were covering, like, Wicca or something. And somehow that came up, and she said that feminism was the radical idea that women are human. And I thought that was interesting. At the time, I hadn't really, like heard anything, you know.
And liberty is the radical idea that you don't need someone taking all your money and telling you what to do.
Right.
I would
say. You don't need government to hold your hand.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, there was a lot of that going on then.
You know what I think a lot of this boils down to is folks these days, kids especially.
These kids today.
Well, they can't deal with the concept that there are winners and losers in everything. Everything has to be a win-win situation. Yeah, and sometimes life is just not.
I blame that soccer.
Yeah, giving trophies to everyone.
When did that come? The soccer where everyone wins. That started in the 70s.
Participation trophies?
Yeah.
No, that started in the late 90s.
Participation trophies like Obama's
Nobel Peace Prize.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think I actually have the patient zero of when this snowflakeism happened, because I actually saw it. I don't still have it. But in researching the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, I got access to some stuff that his family had that a lot of people never saw, and we used some of it as source material in the movie. And one of it was a pile of letters between him and his best friend, who was also the editor on his big novel, first big novel, Last Exit to Brooklyn in the 60s, Gil Sorrentino, who is in the movie but is dead now of cancer. That's what happens when you make a documentary with a bunch of old guys. Like a couple years later, several people in the movie are dead. But in this stack of letters, there was one where Selby was invited to speak at Occidental College in Los Angeles, which is where Obama went to school, one of his colleges. And he said, Selby said that he went to speak in his class to an English class of students who'd all read Last Exit to Brooklyn. And there were some women in the class that were hammering him about this. Like basically, Selby wasn't saying like sexism is good. He had bad people in the book who happened to be sexist and described them accurately. And these women were almost screaming at him in this class in the late 70s for having written a book that portrays people the way they are. And he was just like, and he said something to the effect to his friend Gil in this typewritten letter that he was sending back and forth. One was in the West Coast and the other was still in Brooklyn. They were writing each other for years before email back and forth. And he said something like, you know, I don't know what's happening to today's kids. Like, this is literature. We're discussing literature. And these kids are saying, like, there shouldn't be this kind of literature because it describes things that happened.
Some people just can't handle the truth, man.
Words hurt, okay.
So that's when it happened, was in the mid-70s, the late 70s. 77, I think it was.
Must have passed me by.
It's all about Selby, man. Everything revolves around Selby. And the curse of Selby's pen and the blessing of Selby's cane. And I'm not making a god out of the guy. It's just all true. Listen to all the episodes of the Freedom Fiends, and you'll understand.
Word.
In hour two, we'll talk about how much the CIA loves you and how much they want to protect you from yourself.
Yes.
Worms. Oh, and how I might be V's dad, but we gotta.
We already talked about that.
Not on the show. Not. There's new things that have come up. Yep. It's maths. That's what happened.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPar 2017
in
Alpha Centauri.
LibPar. Libertarian Paradise. LibPar.
Ah! Oh, I thought it was Libertarian Party. In the Alpha Centauri region.
No! Don't make me scream and wake people up. No!
Please, I don't want to
wake up my wife and Cash Newman, my imaginary cousin. Don't make me wake those people up.
All right, well, insert the purple wire in your cortex now, then. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
You know, somebody actually, Yeah.
So how about the CIA hacking into your car? Possibly?
Oh, I got a couple things before we get there. First of all, I've stopped approving comments on the site from anonymous trolls who all they do is complain about that this show isn't some other show. That's really what all of the very few complaining comments we get on the website are basically saying your show isn't like the other shows, or sometimes
this
show isn't like it was 5 years ago, which
is
also
fine. Tell them to make their own show.
And I not only am telling them to make their own show, I have a website that tells you simply and inexpensively how to do that. It's creamyradioaudio.com. So leave me alone. Go make your own show. I'm not going to approve your comments. And I basically believe the comments are all one person because they all read like the same guy. And who would that be? Chandler? You know who that is.
I'm sorry.
J. Neil Schulman.
Okay.
It's the one person that hates us but listens to every
episode.
What
did you do to that guy? Did you refuse a date with him?
No, we
is that why he's so angry?
He's a good sci-fi writer who made a horrible movie of one of his movies. It's called Alongside Night. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free. If you don't, you can watch it for free on YouTube. And he spent $800,000, $700,000 or $800,000 making that movie. Who's its star? Do you know? Have you seen it?
Was it Brendan Fraser or whatever?
Really?
No, it's not Brendan Fraser.
What's his name? I can't remember.
The guy that played Hercules.
Yeah.
On Xena. What's his name?
No one
knows. I don't know. Yeah.
Is it better than The Room?
No one cares.
No, it's worse than The Room because The Room is bad it's good. This is just so bad it's bad. It's like 1% better than The Room, which makes it much worse than The Room.
Wow.
If you feel me. So
maybe one day I'll check it out.
Yeah.
One day.
Hey, Adam Kokesh is in it. And there's actually probably people you know in it. Maybe not, because it's maybe before your time. But it's basically everybody who is a minor celebrity libertarian that he could get to be in the movie is in the movie, even if they're just walking by and buying something at a kiosk. Like, he put everyone in. I think he actually sold, like, acting spots to people. I think that's how he financed it. Mm-hmm. So I think those extras that look really stiff in it, that you know from the internet, I think paid to be in it, some of them. But horrible movie, and it's kind of that thing of, like, you know, if the bully punches you and you just mumble something quietly in his face and then walk away, he'll probably leave you alone. But if you just screech and, like, write long letters at him about what a bully he is, it's not going to make the bully go away. Well, he's kind of turned us into a bully because he's crazy. I think he's crazy. And people who know him say he's changed and they're worried about him. But he's gotten, like, I mean, he goes on the Wikipedia article about agorism and edits it to say that he was one of the founders of agorism when he wasn't. Over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because somebody's going to fix it. So right. I guess he just, like, stays like on there and refreshes it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's actually been banned from there, and so is his IP, and so have his sock puppets. But, you know, maybe he'll still get... At this point, he's not listed on there. He's a footnote on there, as he should be. But, yeah. So that's not what I was going to talk about. But, yeah, I'm just not talking about those people anymore. I'm not approving your comments anymore, because... I think it's all one person, and I'm not gonna give him any attention.
Don't feed the trolls.
I just fed the trolls. So that's one thing. The other thing is I want to say that I was wrong, and Stefan Kinsella is not a member of the alt-right. I assumed he was because of something I saw, and last week we talked about it. And he wrote a really, really long thing, and then other people jumped in, like Jeffrey Tucker, and it turned into this whole other argument with a bunch of trolls. But the original post was telling me that, well, it said he actually was more insulted at being called a Christian than a member of the alt-right, which still seemed wonky to me. But he finally, you know, I said, like, there's several thousand words here. Break it down in two sentences. And he said, I'm an atheist. And, you know, my opinion of the alt-right is the same as yours, Michael Dean. I'm not a fan. And then he said that he and I were twin brothers from a different mother. So it's all good. And he's not a Nazi. So there.
Yay.
And we do that on The Fiends here. When we say things that we did wrong, we are the only show I know of that does I was wrongs. Without being forced by law or threat of getting kicked off a radio show. We like to do them. I might have been wrong
about saying that there are certain times when you should call the cops, but, you know, maybe one day I'll come across an incident where there is, but I can't really think of one, honestly.
Yeah, and I'm glad you've come to the conclusion. So you're thinking now maybe you were wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just kind of thought that maybe there is an incident where you could, like, without really thinking of a specific example, I was just like, well, I'm sure there's an incident where, you know, you might need to, but I don't know.
Yeah, we can talk about that at length at some time, but I really think if it comes down to two things, like, if the moral reason not to call the cops doesn't help you, I think the logistic reason not to call the cops should kick in, which is... they're more likely to come shoot you or the person you're trying to help or arrest you or treat you like a criminal than they are to help the situation. The one thing that bothered me that you said was, stop reading, Chandler. The other thing that bothered me was that you said was that I will have no breathing on this show. Stop breathing for good.
You don't need to breathe. Show.
You don't need to breathe. I spent almost a year nearly not breathing. It's not very much fun. So do it off.
I'm not
off
supposed
mic.
To laugh at that. I know.
You can laugh at that. I can laugh at that now. That's another thing, too. We were talking about, like, trauma. Like, and I listed, you know, knife to my daughter dead of cancer and knife to my throat as traumas. And those are pretty traumatic as things goes. And I went. And I even forgot to mention, you know, spent almost 2 years nearly dying every day struggling to breathe from a life-threatening illness that's getting better now. I'm not out of the woods. But, like, that's my attitude about trauma. Like, if I'm not in it right now, it's not scarring me for life. And that's really how people should be with it. They should learn to be with that, especially when it's not trauma. The three things I mentioned are trauma. The president being someone you don't like isn't... You know, the thing is, too, about those people, like, first of all, those are all people who used to yell at us when we'd make jokes or comments about someone being like Hitler. They'd say, you can't say that. No one could ever say that. And now there's articles in leftist papers saying, he's the new Hitler. Is he literally Hitler? Things like that. Secondly, those are the people saying we were nuts for buying guns and saying we're buying guns because the government might get out of control someday. Those people are now buying guns because they think the government's out of control. What else? Oh, they're also, these are the people that talk about the wonders of democracy when their guy's in power. And now they're saying that, you know, that democracy has been subversive. Or even before that came as a possibility, like there were people saying, like, this isn't right, this isn't democracy. No, it's literally democracy.
You know, I was really hoping that if
you
Trump
get what
won
you pay for.
that all these people who voted for Hillary would maybe consider anarchism, but it seems like they've almost turned more statist.
Oh, they have. Yeah. It's awful.
Ridiculous. It's like, obviously, it's not working. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because I came to libertarianism through the left. I used to be a leftist. I think you were too, right, V? I kind of sense you probably were. Chandler, you were not, right?
I was not.
Fox News goons back
sure
in the day.
Was.
Yeah. But it seems to me that more people I know, more people I read about come to liberty through the right, but usually, more people I know came to it through the left.
I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people who were Republican, like small government Republicans, when they saw what the government, what the GOP did to Ron Paul to keep him from having a chance, they realized that the system's rigged and it's never going to work, and they ended up being anarcho-capitalists or voluntarists. But that doesn't seem to be happening as much with, you know what, here's the thing. I really think that you can tell who has it in their heart to become a Republican, to become a libertarian. Ugh. Republican, to become a libertarian or an anarcho-capitalist or voluntarist. The people who, when they're a statist, they might like defend the state or ask some tough questions of you, like, what about the roads? But they're never the people that have it in their heart to become libertarian are never the ones that defend the government like they're defending their family. Those are the people that will never, I think there's no hope for.
That's because the government is their family.
It's their family.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's their federal family.
That's not creepy. You know,
I got to say, though, I'm the person who came, I'm the most improved player with liberty, because when I was 10 and I was brainwashed by the school and by my parents that drugs are bad, okay? When I was 10, this guy who was probably 18 in a park came up to me. No, he didn't show me his wiener. He showed me his bag of weed and he said, "Hey, kid, this is marijuana." And he didn't try to sell me, and he just showed it to me. And then he said, "All right, I gotta go." You know, I don't know why he did it, but he did.
What?
He was like some hippie dude. It was really strange.
Check this out.
And I swear, like for days afterwards, I had this fantasy of, I wish I'd had my pocket knife with him. I would have taken him prisoner and marched him to the police station. And you know what? A year later, when I was 11, I was smoking weed.
Nice.
Started a bit young, did we?
Most improved. Yeah, well, I also had sex and took acid when I was 14, but how about you, V?
What? Are we talking about when I started? I don't do drugs.
How old were you and you had sex?
What? We're not talking about on the air, dude.
Why not?
We're not?
Older than that. I'll say that much. Older than that.
So you're square? Wow. And this was the 70s.
I mean, it depends on how we define sex, but, you know, we're still not going to go there.
All right.
Because then that could get really weird if we define it in certain ways. We don't want to talk about that.
All right. Well, people
trigger warning.
People have said that their first or second time on the Freedom Fiends, and then a year or two later, they're doing an episode called, you know, On the Couch with Diana Kyler, and that's a real Fiends, I think. So something like that.
Yeah, Derek and I did one like that too.
Yep. So. It'll
maybe
happen.
When I'm popular and people actually care.
You can't just take off your clothes on radio and impress.
Hey, the first Freedom Fiends show I did with you, Michael.
I'm doing this show naked. I'm always naked.
We all are. But yeah. Go on, Chandler.
Yeah, the first show I did with you filling in for Nima was Linux, Guns, and Porn. Oh, my.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Here. Before we get into this is going to be our throwaway segment. Not throwaway segment, but the like all the odds and ends. So, first of all, this episode is going to be called, what was the exact wording of it? Text me.
Yeah, text me on Signal so I can tell you how Signal is compromised.
Right. Something like that. Because when I woke up today, I went to bed at 9 a.m., woke up at 6 p.m. You guys have been writing back and forth, CCing me on the show note discussion, which is what we always do on the Fiends. And sometimes we even discuss things that we never talk about on the show, but actually discussing them, I think, somehow helps I think just talking with, chatting a bit with the people you're going to be on the show with helps. But it's good to do. So you guys were doing it, and you sent something. V sent something that said, yeah, I don't want to talk about this on open email. Write me on Signal, which is an encrypted app. And then like two emails later was Chandler saying, oh, by the way, these CIA hacked emails say that Signal is compromised.
It can bypass it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I think that's a good
one. It was funny.
To be fair, I didn't say Signal was compromised. I said that there was malware implanted on Androids and iPhones that compromised the encryption.
Right.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say still to never use Signal. I would say don't worry about don't use Signal and think you're secure if you're somebody on the list. I think using Signal would probably be better than talking on an open phone with someone in your town about something that's not.
If you want to have discreet sex chat or something, that's when you use Signal.
Yeah, or if you want to, you know, talk about going fishing without a license, let's say. Something that illegal, which I'd never recommend, but...
stuff that the CIA doesn't care about.
Right. Like, I don't think your local sheriff has the terminal on his desk that goes to Signal. The way the CIA does. I think that your local sheriff could probably say to the feds, hey, there's this guy who's doing X, Y, and Z, and it's something that the feds should be concerned about, and then the feds might look at it, but they'd probably take it out of the hands.
Only if you're like a serial killer.
They'd probably take it out of the hands of the feds by then, too. Mm-hmm. No, if you're doing any kind of money laundering or large-scale narcotics distribution.
Yeah,
or
it's got to be huge, though.
You know, amassing an army against the state.
If they can generate revenue from busting you, then yes, they'll get access to it. But other than that...
Or rise up in their organization, which is another way of eventually...
Well, like I always tell people, text as if a cop is reading over your shoulder. Like, never use code. Never, you know, think that no one's going to read it. Just assume that somebody is reading it as you're typing it. You know?
Well, that was one of the things that I learned from the book, Steal This Book, that I'd read when I was 12. It said in that book... Never say anything on a phone you wouldn't say to a cop.
Right.
That burned into my brain. You know, look at The Sopranos. Where do they go meet? They go meet random public places different every time. And then, you know, when they find the guy with the wire, he sleeps with the fishes. So we don't recommend this. All right. So what else we got? Ben Swan, friend of the show, guy, libertarian minarchist superstar. Do you know who he is, V? You heard of him?
He's Ben Swan. Reporter. Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
And then he kind of went quiet for a while, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people were worried about it, but I posted about it today and found out that basically he said, like, people who are following him regularly instead of just aware of him, like me, we've had him on the show a couple times. We don't have guests, but we had him as a guest. He's one of those people. Like, Will Grigg, we may have as a guest, even though we don't have guests. But, yeah, so he disappeared for a while, and people thought he'd been silenced somehow, because he's always been a guy that, like, is always everywhere all the time and has 100,000 views on everything and says some deep stuff, and he started going into all this Pizzagate stuff, which, I don't know, I don't think that happened, but, and he suddenly went dark. But what happened is, actually, he got a job at CBS in some big city, and part of his contract with lots of money was that he had to get rid of all his social media sites for a while. So
yeah, and like
I was going to do it ahead of time.
Yeah, like I said, and I don't even follow him that much, but I caught that I think it was on Facebook a couple months ago.
Yep. You know,
he said that, don't worry, I haven't been disappeared.
Yep, and let's see what else. I found out that cats, you know, the common house cat is on the invasive species list, which I find really amusing because I'm constantly surrounded by cats.
I'm not surprised.
They're
in my apartment complex.
They're an invasive species when we're on the air, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. What did you say there, V?
I said, I'm not surprised. You should visit my apartment complex. There are feral cats everywhere.
Yeah, well, cats... Well, the reason that they're considered on the endangered species list is they have no native range.
Wait,
although I think their native range is everywhere, you know?
Did you say invasive or endangered?
Yeah, I thought you said invasive.
Invasive.
Okay.
No, not pervasive, invasive. But they're invasive in my house, and I love it. I just want to give a shout-out to my favorite invasive species. You got invasive species, don't you? You got snakes. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Murns.
So before we get to the CIA and how benevolent and wonderful they are and how they want to protect you from yourself and your friends.
Indeed.
I want to talk about this theory going around that I'm V's actual biological father.
Oh, so, goodness.
Yeah, so
I did look at that picture that you posted on Facebook, and what was her name? Rachel?
Rachel. Right? So for people who can't see what you're looking at and can't read your brain.
I was going to describe.
Go ahead.
I mean, I noticed that she has some plump lips, and I was like, I kind of have those lips. Like, I don't know.
She kind of has her butt, too, but people have no idea who we're talking about. So let me do some good radio and not bury the lead. So,
all right.
I posted some pictures of a woman that I dated in Richmond, Virginia, where you are, that I slept with a lot without a condom, who said she was on birth control pills. And I dated her on and off for 15 years. I mean, this wasn't a fling, but it started in Richmond probably around the time you were born. You're born in the summer of 87, was it?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, 87 was the first tour of my band Bomb. I don't remember what month it was, but we didn't usually tour in the winter. So it must have been, and we probably weren't ready in spring. So it was summer or fall. And we played in Richmond, opening for a band called Pussy Galore. And I met Rachel and spent the night with her. And she was going to VCU, and we had sex. She was studying art at VCU. And we had sex, and we kept in touch, and we wrote long, intelligent letters back before email. Like, we wrote snail mail letters that were 5 to 15 pages each, handwritten.
Aww.
And sent them often. And sometimes they were love talk, but more, it was, what's the name of those kind of people that are attracted to brains more than looks? She and I are both that.
Sapiosexual?
Yeah, we're both sapiosexuals. But, you know, she's cute, and I was cute back then, too. But we also both were, like, attracted to people who weren't generally attractive because of brains. And that was the basis of our attraction. And she is the kind of person probably that if she got pregnant by me would just, I would think abort the kid and not tell me, but I wouldn't put it past her to have the kid and put it up for adoption and not tell me.
Wait, you're serious? I thought we were joking.
We're mostly joking, but I'm kind of taking it to like a what if, you know, but the thing is the maths didn't work because I would have had to have been there a year earlier, but here's my question that I asked you on Facebook that you never answered, and you answered a few things on there, including saying you could see the resemblance between her and you. Oh, and
I have too many notifications.
You have two what?
Too many notifications. I apologize.
Too many notifications from people. Oh, because you take your clothes off. Yeah.
On radio.
But and the other thing that I don't know if I wrote, but I will mention is, not to be crude, but you guys have the same butt. I saw that picture of you shooting guns. You both have a black girl bubble butt. And, you know, so.
Bubble butt.
But here's the thing I was thinking, too, is the maths don't work. And I don't want to be your father. I think you're a nightmare. And I think that the world should raise you and not me. But
I'll take that as a compliment.
I wouldn't raise. I'm raising you all I would do if you were my kid. I'm raising you the same way I raised Chandler. But how do you know that your birth certificate is accurate if you're adopted? How do you know it's not a year off?
That's a good question. I think they do that in the hospital, though?
You'd be younger.
Well, I was only in a foster home for a month because, you know, white privilege. So
you got adopted right away?
Yeah.
Okay, so your birth certificate is almost certainly accurate.
Right.
Okay, you're not my kid. Good.
Nah.
Right. But you called me.
That was a close one.
The other thing is, you jokingly called me Daddy Dean or something like that on the show.
Daddy Michael. I like Daddy Dean. That's better.
Well, you can't call me that because my wife calls me Daddy, and that's her lovey name for me. So,
and now it's going to be awkward if I do
that's
too,
weird.
Right?
Yeah, but the other reason you shouldn't do it is because other people started saying that like I was a cult leader and writing me. Like, fans of the show were like, oh, Daddy Dean, you know, the Fiends cult. So I think we should use something less lovey-dovey and less cult-like, like benevolent leader Dean.
Oh, yeah, that's less cult-like.
I'm trying to hold a straight face here, man. I'm not.
Oh, merciful Master Dean.
Yes. Oh, merciful. Oh, giver of liberty. Oh, that's horrible. That's sick, man. So I want to have Will Grigg on the show, and I'm kind of embarrassed too. He's like a serious libertarian. He's great. He's solid.
Yeah,
he's
good.
He was cop blocking when the people who started cop block were in diapers, literally, and has been like this guy's been doing like libertarian, talking accurately about what's wrong with the police since before the internet existed. Like, he's not jumping on this bandwagon. He's kind of famous for it, and he's for some reason a fan of the Fiends, and I invited him on kind of half jokingly, and he said he'd be honored. And now, now I'll do it, but I'm like, I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, who do I have on? I guess I have Lou on because Lou would take it seriously and not embarrass me. I would embarrass me. I'll just have Lou on, but I'll be the third wheel. So, yeah, I don't know. This is the kind of show where we can have jackassery and then we could do something serious too. But like, we're going to do some serious next. So here's a contest. I'll give a free pack of Fiends buttons to whoever comes up with the best term to call me other than Daddy Dean, because that's reserved my wife. So, you know, benevolent was the one you said. It was funny.
Merciful Master. Merciful Master of Freedom.
Yeah. And, you know, the problem is, like, that is really disgusting.
That's
especially
an oxymoron.
As someone who loves liberty, that's really disgusting. But the sick thing is, a little tiny part of me likes being called that. So I would say scratch a libertarian, find a sociopath. That should be the name of an episode. But so that's a contest. Free pack of Fiends buttons and stickers too. And I'll mention any product, service, or website that's not illegal on the show. I'll give you some free advertising. So that's a contest. Send the emails to BIPcoin. That's Bravo India Papa Coin @gmail.com. All right, so the CIA and how we should talk on private encrypted Signal app about how the Signal app is no longer secret. Go, 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 go.
Well, so the CIA can hack cars now. Not only devices.
Okay,
but
You're burying the lead.
Okay.
There was a leak. Didn't you take any? Well, I guess they don't teach.
They don't teach anything in college.
They don't teach anything in college. So.
They teach you how to feel good.
There's this thing called the inverted triangle. Have you ever heard of the inverted triangle?
That actually sounds familiar.
Isn't that a New World Order
that
thing?
My subconscious.
No, it's not a New World Order thing. It's that's the normal triangle.
The Illuminati.
The inverted triangle is how you destroy how you smash that into a million pieces and spread it to the wind. And what was that thing? What was the code word on this document dump of CIA documents?
Splinter it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it into the wind.
Yeah, which Winds. Is all one word, which is, I was like, that sounds familiar. Is that a poem by the author of The Color Purple? No, it's what Kennedy said he wanted to do to the CIA, and then he somehow mysteriously died by a lone gunman.
There was a leak.
He leaked it on national radio that he wanted to do that. So the thing is, splintering some things into 1,000 pieces and scattering into the winds doesn't destroy them. Like a mushroom scattering the spores, or a dandelion blowing a dandelion. So what did you say you wanted to do? Decentralize
the CIA, right? Yeah. Basically.
Which I think he's done, basically. Because, you know, with if you see something, say something, everybody is a snitch for the government. But WikiLeaks kind of do the opposite. They see something and say something about what the government's doing wrong. And they did a huge document. You know, Tony Soprano says huge. Huge document dump of how the government's touching you in special places that don't feel good. Show me on the doll, Chandler, where the government touched us that we didn't know about for sure.
Well,
but we had a good idea.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I got to wonder with the revelations of the Vault 7 document dump on WikiLeaks, are we all conspiracy theorists now still? Or
yeah, well, the CIA invented that term to discredit people who had alternate theories about Kennedy's death other than it was a lone gunman.
Yep. But yeah, they're involved in all kinds of stuff. They have a couple of different branches. The Center for Cyber Intelligence is one of their branches. And I guess they've been targeting French political parties and candidates in the lead up to their 2012 presidential elections to, shall we say, favor the outcome they wished. Kind of like what they're
doing that forever. The problem with these document dumps is they just confirm stuff that
we've known.
Non-lovers of the government have suspected strongly or had a whiff of for a long time. Like when the first big one, when the Snowden stuff came out, that yes, the government's spying on you all the time. I was saying that in 1996 when most people weren't even on the internet. I was like, I remember posting on some alt news group. Remember news groups, Chandler?
Oh yeah,
remember them?
Nope.
It was it was like forums before the web, and shortly after the web until they were replaced by actual forums. Probably until web 2.0, which is around 1998, started.
That's so, kind of when I got into it.
Yeah, I got on the internet in. First time I went online was in, the first time I went online was in 1974 because I was on a mainframe computer system in New Hampshire at, what's that college? The Ivy League there one?
Dartmouth.
Dartmouth, where my sister was. But all I did was play tic-tac-toe, but I technically was connected to one of the early nodes of the ARPANET, which turned into the internet. But the first time I really got on it was I got on Gopher, which was pre-web in 1991 at the San Francisco Public Library. They actually had terminals for it. First got on the web in early 95. I worked at a steak restaurant that had computers on the internet. And then in 96, I had DSL at my home and had a website. And had the website kittyfeet.com, which I had hosted somewhere else and registered in 97. And I've had that domain since 97. So enough bragging about me. Tell me about your CIA. What I'm getting to anyway is that the problem with this stuff is it doesn't change as much as it should. All this does, like, when the Snowden thing came out, I was going, ha, ha, I told you, to, like, statists and family members who told me right. I was literally crazy for years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then they were like, well, it doesn't really matter. I have nothing to hide.
They're which
made me want to barf.
Oh, yes.
All right.
We'll get back into this after the market.
All right.
A few things to say.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah, so in the break we were talking about Gary Webb, and I was telling you, he's the journalist who discovered and exposed the connection of between the CIA and the Nicaragua-funded rebels, dealing crack, and how the CIA was dealing crack cocaine in the cities in the early in the late 90s.
Didn't they create crack?
Well, kind of.
They were like, you know, you can take cocaine and you can mix it with baking soda and voila,
boom,
crack.
And it's even more addictive and it's easier to transport. Yeah, it's horrible. The CIA is responsible.
They've got some money. Yeah. But anyway, so we were talking about Vault 7, which is the most recent WikiLeaks dump regarding... the CIA hacking devices, much like the NSA does, but with even less security so that your information can be more easily leaked.
Yeah, it's putting us all at in a very precarious position. It's dangerous, you know, because black hat hackers can get a hold of it. So many people can get a hold of this stuff and then use it against you.
Companies who want to sell me things.
Yep.
But the scariest thing I would say is the fact that since 2014, they have had the ability, apparently, to hack into car computers and actually take over the vehicle, which is a theory that Michael Hastings, who was a reporter or a journalist, apparently, he died in an automobile accident where all of a sudden the car just accelerated on its own. And a couple days before that, or actually a few hours before that, he asked to borrow his neighbor's car because he didn't feel safe driving his.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Smart appliances. Well, do you remember the big push that they had? I think it was in 2008 or maybe 2010 for the smart meters on your homes. And the electric companies weren't even asking or notifying. You would just come home one day and all of a sudden there was a smart meter installed. The old, you know, the turn dial ones, they were gone. And that sent the conspiracy theorists into a tizzy. But I think there's a lot of legitimate concerns. And now with the, you know, everyone's buying smart TVs and smart refrigerators and smart toasters and smart, you know, it's just another way. If you don't want to go the route that the government's tracking and tracing and spying on you. Okay, let's not go there for a minute. Just think about
Decepticons.
Well, yeah. Oh. your healthcare provider, right? If you've got a smart fridge, they can tell how many times you've opened your fridge and maybe even what you've taken out of it. I don't know for sure if they can do that, but they can certainly see how many times you've accessed your refrigerator. Smart TVs, you know, what are you watching? There was an article, I play a lot of video games, and I was considering, I finally broke down and did it, but I waited a couple of years. I was considering getting an Xbox, and the original Xboxes were equipped with Kinect by default. Kinect is a device, you know, that can track your movements and make your gameplay more fun.
Yeah.
But they can also, like, literally see, you know, who is in your home. And there were these concerns that, you know, if you had a group full of people in your living room and you were watching Netflix, maybe some of those people didn't have Xbox Live accounts or Netflix accounts and they shouldn't be there. And just all kinds of crazy privacy concerns, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the world we live in. This is 1984 was so much closer than originally thought. I mean, yeah, we don't have the big televiewer that monitors our every move, or do we? You know, but it's the same thing. You know, but we voluntarily take these devices, you know, for our convenience, our smartphones, our smart TVs, our smart this, our, you know, our laptops, our tablets. They're convenience, but we're sacrificing privacy and security. And I don't think we should do that. More human interaction, less technical stuff.
Go out in the woods, take some acid.
Oh, that's so fun. I've done that more than once.
Good times.
But not in a long time. Maybe I'm about due. Well, it's been fun.
Indeed.
So everyone, don't let apathy set in. Go check in the vault. Go check out the Vault 7 leaks. WikiLeaks.com. Educate yourself. Adapt.
Stay woke.
Worms. Wow, that music goes on longer than I remember.